is the Two-Pad Stack, where we dive deep into all things NHL and then some. If it's the Boston Bruins, we talk about the ups, the downs, and everything in between. But we're not stopping there. We're also tossing in some Patriots pigskin, gaming glory, dad jokes, and all things pop culture. Because why the hell not? It's our show. Whether you're a longtime hockey lunatic like us, or just looking for a good time, you're in the right place. This is the Two-Pad Stack. Now your hosts, Ace and Burge.
All right, welcome into episode 34 of the Two-Pad Stack podcast, sponsored by the Hockey Podcast Network and our friends over at DraftKings, promo code THPN. Additionally, you can find some awesome tickets available to you via SeatGeek. You can use promo code 2PADSTACKPOD, that's the number 2PADSTACKPOD, to save $20 off your first purchase. Really good with playoff hockey coming around the corner. Go catch a Celtics game, buy some tickets through SeatGeek. Use our code, support the podcast. As is tradition, I'm your host, Ace. Alongside me today, Burge decided not to join me. He's got more important things to do. So as I sent out a tweet earlier today, Burge has been demoted to emergency backup goaltender, and we're pulling in none other than Shan onto the podcast today. Shan, how's it going?
I've slept all night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Yeah. What is up with the Boston Bruins lately?
I wish I could tell you. Because, like, the amount of games this season that I've been to where they've been like, you know, like, yes, we're going to win this. And then,
boom. Yeah. It's like you get one really good game and you're like, all right, they're back. And then they just go right back to what the hell happened to this team. They're listless. They're emotionless. They're just going through the motions, and it's rough to watch.
I personally am choosing to believe that they're actively trying to not win the President's Trophy. So that's the only thing that's keeping me going.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, why not? It's not like it did well for them last year.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, they're just doing it on purpose and like making us believe that it's an accident. And like, they don't mean to screw up, but.
Yeah, I mean, that game against the Rangers is pretty frustrating. I mean, it was a close game. They got a bunch of empty net goals, so the score 5-2 is a little deceptive, I think. Doesn't necessarily reflect how that game truly was played. But when push came to shove, I don't think they played well enough to truly even be in it at the end there. And, you know, the end result is pretty definitive of where it probably should have ended up. What I was more concerned with was yet another matinee performance against the Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday, where it just seemed like they didn't have any juice whatsoever.
Yeah. Especially the game, like, literally the week before against the Flyers, where it was just, like, I don't, the score was frustrating, but the game itself was so electric, and you're like, they're fighting for this, like, they want this, and then, you know, it's that one, and they're just like, eh.
Yeah, it's like, you know? I'm just waiting for them to do that answering shift. Okay, somebody's going to go throw a big hit. Somebody's going to get a good goal. We're going to have sustained pressure. And it never happened. And obviously, it was taking its toll on Coach Monty because, you know, he blew up on the team today at practice.
Yeah, you know? Actually, he did the same one of the practices. When was it? It was a Wednesday. It was after the Blues game as well. So Catherine and I went to practice the Wednesday morning, and he had an absolute potty mouth that practice. I think is it Pluto?
Pluto Shinzawa, yeah.
Yeah, he tweeted that it's been thingy. Because I said to Catherine during the practice, I was like, ooh, Monty's not happy today. Like, we could hear him like dropping quite a few F-bombs. And like, I don't blame him.
No.
Especially, like, after the way, like, the defense just completely crumbles. You get to a certain point in the game and they're just, like, it's like they forget how to communicate with each other. And, like, I know Carlo had said in one of the interviews that he was excited for Lindholm to be back because he's a very good communicator. But then you kind of, like, when you're watching the games, you're like, all right, well, where is this communication?
Right. Some of this communication you're alluding to, I don't see it out there. So,
yeah,
it's been a little frustrating. And I do still think I like what Andrew Peak is bringing to the team. He's got that youthful energy. He plays defensive hockey a little bit better than, you know, maybe a Kevin Shattenkirk at the current stage of his career that he's in. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
really liked Peak with Wotherspoon.
Mm.
But they had a good game together. But then saying that, Wotherspoon and Shattenkirk did have a good few really good games together. So we were like, this is a good pairing. But then obviously Monty decides to break them up again and, you know...
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably going to continue to happen for the rest of the season, right? I mean, they have 8 NHL caliber defensemen, so they're going to be mixing them up. And, you know, maybe that's a blessing, maybe it's a curse, right? Because I would love to have more pairs with more established chemistry with one or another and not treat them like interchangeable parts. But it is what it is, I suppose. My preferred combination right now, and Mason Lorai had a rough game, but I really like that Lorai peak combination on the bottom pair. I think it's got that traditional combination of a defenseman that can move the puck, can, you know, have that offensive flair to his game, and a little bit more of that stay at home defenseman style of pairing. That, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of like when Zdeno Chara was in his prime and he had that little bit of offensive flair. Obviously a little bit different than what Lorai does. But it allowed Zdeno Chara to take some liberties offensively because Dennis Seidenberg was always back there covering up for him.
I quite like earlier on in the season, the Lorai-Carlo partnership.
Yeah.
I really liked them like back then. I think, I can't remember if I tweeted it the other day where I was like, that's something like, I want like Lorai-Carlo back, but.
Yeah.
Get what you get, and then you just have to deal with it as fans,
don't we? I think that's even more of what I was talking about. Like, Carlo's even more of like a stay-at-home D-man than what Andrew Peak is, I feel like. And, you know, you saw Andrew Peak take that risk a couple games back where he barreled down the wing and found John Beecher on the far post with a beautiful pass. And, like, it would be incredibly rare to see Brandon Carlo do anything like that. You know, Carlo would more likely just shoot a cannon that somehow would find its way to the top corner.
Like against the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thought I was going to black out after that. As a Carlo fan.
You were
fan,
there, weren't you?
I was at that game, yeah. I was at that game with Boosie, Catherine, Alessandra, Bobby, and shout out Alessandra's dad, Dave. And we literally, especially for me as well, because it was a JD assist. So I was like, don't even know how I didn't like completely
to the moon, I'm sure. Yeah, that must have been a great time. Yeah, I wish I got to go to some more games with everybody from Bruins Twitter. Yeah. So those of you that are listening now and maybe haven't interacted with Shan or know Shan or anything, Shan's one of the well-known Boston Bruins fans on Twitter. I've known her for a while. Probably you're wondering, she's got a funny accent. Well, guess what? That's because she's not here from the States, despite how many games she goes to. She's from over the pond, if you will, in England. And I'm very interested, Shan. Like, I know you and I have talked about this before, but we haven't obviously been recording. You know, do you mind telling me the story as to how you kind of fell into becoming a Boston Bruins fan, despite being all the way over in England?
Yeah, so actually, I started off as a Boston Celtics fan. I've been a Celtics fan since I was a kid. I used to play basketball for my primary schools. When I was like 8, I started. That all stemmed from... One second. Okay. So back then, my second favorite soccer team was Glasgow Celtic. So my little 8-year-old brain was like, name association, they wore the same colors. So that's how I got into, so that's how I chose Boston Celtics.
Yep.
And over time, just ended up like absolutely sports mad as a kid, well, still am. But, yeah, so obviously, you know, like the normal sports over here, and then ended up getting into like the NFL. That's quite popular over here. And then just kind of branched out, became a Red Sox fan. And then found out about the New England Revolution. And the Bruins were actually the last team that I'd heard of. And it was about, well, nearly 4 years ago when I started like paying a bit more attention. I knew they existed from obviously like the other sports teams because they all like send like messages to each other, don't they? Like good luck and stuff like that. So I sort of knew they existed. And then the more I was interacting with the other sports teams on social media, a lot more of like Bruins posts were like popping up. And I know I've spoke about this quite a lot and even like on Twitter. I started seeing a lot of comments about Jake DeBrusque and people hating on him and like absolutely being horrible, and I was like, what has this kid done that's so bad? People are like saying like the stuff that they were.
Oh yeah.
So I just started like checking him out, seeing what he had done. I was just like, he hasn't actually done anything to warrant this level of hate. It's just
the kid's just being himself, been
playing
right?
Well, and he's struggling mentally. But I have ADHD, so at this point, I was like in an absolute full-on like hyperfixation. Like I really like this. I was like all over YouTube, everything that I possibly could. And I was like, holy shit! Like this is actually a really fun sport. I've never like. So we used to play field hockey when I was in school and hated it.
Okay.
So, yeah, hockey had never been something that I was like,
So it was it like, you would say like 2018, 2019 when you kind of started following it?
When I started paying more attention, it was actually just after the 2019 season.
Yeah, fuck that season. I hated how that one ended.
Yeah, thankfully I missed that one. And then it was like, I can't remember exactly when, because like the whole like year of COVID is a complete blur.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was around, it was like just before when I'd started playing, and then the whole like COVID thing happened, and I just like didn't keep track of anything.
Yeah.
And then started getting back more into it. So obviously when they started letting fans back into the arena.
Yep.
So my first game, my first live game was 14th of April 2022 against the Ottawa Senators. And so it just, this is how my luck generally has been with the Bruins. My first game, there are up 2 goals at the end of the first period. Ullmark got injured halfway through the middle period. And then they ended up losing the game 3-2.
Classic.
Yeah. So
sounds like a Bruins game. Sounds like the games that I go to usually.
Mm-hmm. However, so that week I was over. So I dragged my friend to a Bruins game, a Red Sox game. We went out to Gillette for a Revs game. And then I went to Celtics playoff game. And the Bruins were the only team that during that trip. That we went to, but like the whole like live experience, like hockey's fun to watch on TV.
Yeah.
But that live experience, I was like, it felt like it changed me as a person. And I was like, after that, it was all I could think about. So I was like, I need to come back over for more games. Like, it was the most fun thing I've ever experienced in my life. I've done a lot of fun things in my time.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy shit, like the whole atmosphere, like everything, and even like the sound of hockey, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, holy shit. This is incredible.
Yeah, if you're listening and you haven't, obviously watching hockey, like Shan says, on TV, it's a great experience. It's a good product. It's entertaining. But if you have a chance to go to a live game, even if it's not NHL level, like we're talking like D1 college or, you know, ECHL, AHL, if you have a chance to watch live hockey and you've never done it before, do it. Like, it doesn't matter what level it is. It is an incredibly compelling and fun experience. And, you won't regret it. My only complaint about going to Bruins games is how much money they are now. It's like, it is wild how expensive these tickets are. Like, I wanted to buy tickets down in the low section just because I haven't been down there in forever. And for me to, like, God forbid I bring my whole family. Like, for me to bring one person with me, like, it would be, you know, $300 to $400, depending on how far into, you know, the low section is. If I want to bring my whole family, my wife, my two kids, and myself, like, we're talking like $700 to $1,000. It is absolutely preposterous. So we're going to be, you know, bleacher gremlins till the day I die, I think.
I've only ever sat in the lodge once, and that was for a Celtics game because it's only $100.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I think Celtics games are even cheaper than Bruins games, aren't they?
In my experience, yes.
Yeah.
The ones that I've been to. Yeah, so it was the 8th of March last season when I flew over, like, the start of my 7-week trip that I did. And it was actually, the game was on the day that I actually arrived in Boston. Like, I went and checked into my hotel, got freshened up, and then went straight to the garden for the Celtics game.
Nice.
And it was great seats. And I was like, oh, if only I could afford this for the Bruins.
No kidding, right? I've never been to the Garden for anything that's not a Boston Bruins game. So, like, I would love to go there for a concert, but I think, like, I also don't know. Like, I think if I was walking into the Garden, I'm so hardwired that my brain would be like, all right, hockey, hockey, hockey. I don't really know how I would feel walking in there for, like, a concert or, like, even a Celtics game. I think I might be, like, at my core a little pissed off that I'm walking in that door and I don't get to watch a Bruins game. But, yeah, that'll be something I'll have to kind of look into.
Celtics games are a lot of fun, though. If you like basketball, they're so much fun. It's like, I had wanted to see a Celtics game since I was a kid, obviously. So it's like, I've been waiting like 20 odd years at this point. And my first live Celtics game was like April 2022. And it was the first playoff game against the Nets.
Okay.
And Jason Tatum got that buzzer beater. Literally, like, and the Garden was just absolutely insane, and like the atmosphere, and like, it was just definitely something that you should also, even just for the atmosphere.
I'll be the guy wearing the Bruins jersey at a Celtics game.
Do you know what? There's loads of people that do it. I was wearing a Celtics t-shirt and a Red Sox hat, like, you know?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Like I mentioned, the only time I've been to the Garden is for a Bruins game. Yeah. I've also been to Gillette Stadium once, and it wasn't for a football game. It was for the Winter Classic. So I've never seen the Pats play. I've never seen the Rev play, but I've seen the Bruins play at Gillette. And I guess we'll call that, we'll use the term play very loosely, because what they did against the Habs in that game was not, that was not hockey. They got their asses kicked by the Montreal Canadiens.
For a fun time.
Yeah, so you've already been over, you've done these crazy trips over here to watch the Bruins. Obviously, you've seen them in Boston countless times now. You've been to a lot of places on the road too, haven't you?
Yes, so the trip that I've just done, excluding the Garden, I just kicked off my 10th away arena. So the trip that I did last season, the 7-week one.
Yep.
So I flew in on the 8th of March. We played the Oilers on the 9th of March. They lost that one as well. So like, great, thanks, guys. and then on the 11th of March, they played Detroit in Boston. And then they played Detroit in Detroit the next day on Sunday.
And it never went well when we played in Detroit.
yeah, that was an absolutely horrendous day for me. Sure, I've told you the story before. Like, travel-wise, and, like, the airport is nowhere near, like, actual Detroit, and it was just a horrible experience. The Bruins were absolutely, like, trashed. Not a fun time. Little Caesars Arena, though, it was a very, very fun arena, and I did really enjoy it. I don't know if that was because it was, like, it was kids' day there, and they had little George back. I don't know if he's, like, no little George the Red Wings fan. Yeah, like the whole experience, and I was like, oh great. And then my phone died while I was waiting for Uber to come to get me to come pick up my suitcase.
No way.
Yeah, so they were like a mile, my suitcases were like a mile away in some little shop. So all of the luggage storage downtown was closed because it was all UPX and it was a Sunday. So yeah, so my phone died, and then I was like almost having like literally like in a full-on meltdown, because I had to get a bus down to my friends in Fort Wayne in Indiana. And I was like, I cannot be stuck in Detroit overnight.
No, that is not a town you want to get stuck in overnight. No.
Anyways, I managed to find a cab like outside the arena, and like I could see other people walk into it, so I just absolutely legged it. Like jumped in there before anyone else got in. So after that, I went down and stayed with a friend in Fort Wayne for like the Sunday and Monday night. And then I got the bus up to Chicago, went to the game in Chicago, also lost that game.
How long of a bus ride was it?
So from Fort Wayne, it was about probably about 4 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad. Hour.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Chicago is a lovely city, and it was right around, like, they just turned the river green for St. Patrick's Day as well, so that was great. And everyone was like, oh, it's going to be like horrible weather, it's going to be snowing and stuff. And I got there and it was absolutely glorious. I was like,
really?
Yeah. And like Chicago, like the public transport, everything was like laid out absolutely brilliantly. And I was like, this is incredible. This is what I like when I come to a non-city.
Well, yeah, you come over here to Boston and you see the tea and it's just a shit show. So compared to that.
I actually find the tea very easy to navigate.
When it works,
yeah. It's not so fun when it's like rail replacement buses and all that shit, but
fair enough.
Yeah, so then after that, the Bruins were going up to Winnipeg and then down to Minnesota, and when I was trying to figure out how to get there using American or Canadian public transport, I was like, nah, I'll save that for another day. So I went and stayed with some friends in Cleveland. Actually dragged them to a Cleveland Monsters game. That was a fun experience. That was my first time actually at an AHL game. The Bruins were playing in Winnipeg that night, so I was like at the AHL game streaming the Bruins on my phone. Yeah, and then after that we went to Buffalo, so that was an experience as well. So I don't know if you remember me tweeting. So I had booked my books. Cleveland to Buffalo. It was supposed to get there at 11:30 p.m. the Saturday night. So after I'd bought my bus through Greyhound, Flixbus had bought them out, changed some of the schedules, reissued new tickets. I had not received mine, and I had not been informed that the bus time had actually been brought forward by 10 full minutes. So I ended up missing that bus. And when I went and showed her my ticket, she was like, oh, this wouldn't have been valid anyways. And I was like, excellent. So very thankfully and very kindly, my friend who has a lot of air miles booked me a flight from Cleveland to Buffalo at like 4:30 in the morning. But I had to fly back to Detroit and then fly from Detroit to Buffalo. And I was sat at Detroit Airport that whole time having flashbacks. Previous time I was there. So while that was happening, I had a spare ticket for the game in Buffalo and nobody else could take it that I knew. So I literally was like begging Tanya to come up. Because I had a couple of people who had been tweeting, being like, oh yeah, we want to meet you at the game. And I was like, not up with them.
Yeah.
So I was like, Tanya, please come to this game. So she set off at 3 a.m. from New York City. drove up to Buffalo. The first time Tanya and I met in person was me literally opening her car door at Buffalo Airport and being like, all right, let's get to the game.
Jeez, that's so funny. And they say that people on social media aren't friends. Like, people that you know through social media that become your friends, they're just as much friends as anything else. I don't like
exactly.
that shit.
And also, I don't really have much strange danger awareness, clearly. So if you're young, please be more mindful and cautious than I am.
That's a good advice there from Shan. It almost seems like the first part of your trip wasn't so swell.
So that 7-week trip, the whole trip, like public transport, there was always stuff going wrong. So I did a bus, it was a 17-hour bus journey out to Pittsburgh, so I had to change in New York. But I got a message beforehand saying that my bus I booked had been cancelled. And I was like, what? So there was like a whole hoo-ha trying to get that sorted. Eventually, I just ended up putting Greyhound on blast on Twitter. So then everyone was like piling on them. And then it got sorted. And then the Philly game. So Tanya and I drove down from Boston, and then when she was going back to New York, and I was supposed to be getting the bus back at midnight. The train, sorry, back to Boston at midnight. I'd had booked for like nearly a year at that point. And like 2 days before that, got a notification saying that train had been cancelled. So I went to South Station and was like, right, how are you getting me back to Boston? And they were like, oh, well, the next train's at 6 a.m. So I had to sit at Philadelphia train station until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Unbelievable.
The whole trip was like, that whole trip, this trip, this 3-week trip, apart from the first day leaving my hometown and getting down to London, that was a nightmare, things going wrong. But this time, I haven't had a single travel issue. Everything's gone smoothly. Even like connect. So I flew out from Philadelphia this time after I went to go meet halfway. So I had to connect in Germany. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get stuck in Germany. And you know, everything went smoothly. Even when I got back to England, all the trains were on time. I was like, fucking hell. What's going on? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
You're good. We can swear on this podcast.
Okay.
Let them fucking fly.
So this trip, 3-week trip was like 10 times better than that 7-week trip I did. This one was absolutely insane, even though they did lose. But,
yeah, it's okay. You can't, honestly, I mean, we are incredibly fortunate as Bruins fans to have a team that wins as much as they do, right? So, I mean, it's only natural you're going to be able to, especially with how many games you go to, Shan, you know, you're going to see some losses, you're going to see some wins, and, you know, the fact of the
matter
is that team's
I have
perfect.
Been keeping a track of all the games that I've been to, and I would like to say that I've been to 29 games since the 14th of April 2022. I've seen 10 losses and 19 wins, so I'm still in the win column.
Yeah, you're at like you're batting like 6.99999% repeating, of course. Yeah. That's not bad. You know, I mean, for the last 2 years, you're bound to have a winning record. I think I only went to one game last year where they lost, and I went to about 10 games last year. So, I mean, guess that's what's going to happen when you have the team that has set the record.
The last season, the 7-week trip, so it was only the first 5.5 weeks I was actually, like, going to games. The last week and a half, I don't know if you remember my friend Natalie from Franchi was all that stuff. It was like, doing stuff with her. But in that first 5.5 weeks, I was 16 games, and we did actually only lose 4 of them, so I can't complain at that, really. It was just more the fact that 2 of them were away games, and it's always worse when you're at an away game and they lose, and you're like, oh, I've got to deal with these
things. Oh, I know. I went to a game at Amalie Arena against Tampa with the Bruins in town, and this was last year. So
was that the playoffs?
I did go to the playoffs against the Panthers, but this was
this is
a Lightning game.
Yeah.
So I remember leaving Amalie Arena with all the Lightning players, Not the Lightning player. Sorry, my daughter just showed up and was trying to do like hand gestures to talk to me. I was leaving the Amalie Arena with all the Lightning fans and hearing their chants on the way out, like, Boston sucks, go home, Yankees, Boston sucks. I'm like, have you guys seen your city? Like, Tampa's not exactly anything great right now. Like, it's not a bad city, but but they have, I gotta give Esposito and his brother a lot of credit. That franchise that they created in Tampa Bay, you know, they've got a lot of really good, loyal, passionate fans, and it was a lot of fun. You know, that was a back and forth game. It wasn't like a game where the Bruins got, you know, demolished. So the Bruins had a lot of momentum. Yeah, that was a rough game too. Like the game that I went to down there in Tampa, like the Bruins would have a lot of momentum, and all the Bruins fans, there was a lot of us. Because anytime the Bruins are in Florida, I'm imagining, you know, tomorrow and Wednesday night, you're going to see a lot of Bruins fans down there. But, you know, the Bruins fans are loud and they were chanting, let's go Bruins. And, you know, the Lightning fans would get pissed and they'd chant, let's go Bolts or go Bolts go or whatever. And it's that dueling fan base dynamic is a lot of fun, especially in an away bar. And Bruins fans really always seem to travel really well. Especially like if you go back to when I first started watching the Bruins, we're talking, you know, mid-2000s, like early 2000s, you know, Bruins were not a hot ticket in town. And that's obviously like the dark days, like after, you know, Joe Thornton was traded, the team was in a dark place. You know, away teams would come into the Garden and they would dominate. You know, I would have to hear ole, ole, ole every time the Bruins played the Habs right here in Boston. And that when I was a kid, it was like such like a foundational memory for me that I think I still have like PTSD. And like when I'm having nightmares at night, I still hear ole, ole, ole. And like, even though the Habs are
reversed, because when we go to Montreal,
yes.
Like, so I was at the Montreal game. It was the last game, right, regular game of the season last season. And Davis was with me and then a couple of my friends, one of my friends, and she's from South Dakota and she's a Habs fan. She was with me. And our entire section, so like the majority of the game, was just chanting, let's go Bruins. And like the Habs fans didn't really respond much. Like at all. And like, and afterwards, like people were like, Jack Edwards had commented, like we could hear like the let's go Bruins chants and stuff.
Yeah.
People were just not, like, they couldn't really believe that a Let's Go Bruins chant was breaking out in Montreal.
I really couldn't. Because, like I said, when I was first watching, you know, 13 to 18-year-old me, like, the Habs were one of the top-tier teams in the league. And, you know, Bell Center is a large arena, as you know, and it was always incredibly loud. And I had to deal with them trucking in busloads of Habs fans down to the Garden. And all their fans everywhere, being incredibly loud, incredibly rude. And, you know, I always hated them. And then as soon as I heard that let's go chant, let's go Bruins chant at Bell Center, I was like, no fucking way. They did that. That's amazing. I love that shit so much. I went to the Habs game this year at the Garden. The one where,
the
9-1 game. And when we got the seventh goal, I started the ole 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 chant that went around the Garden. So that was definitely pretty fulfilling. I had a great time with that one. Before we keep going, I have some more questions for you. I'm going to go ahead and send it over to our sponsor for today, DraftKings. And we're also going to bring you over to this week's edition of Hat Trick with Patrick for your gambling picks. Once again, we are not a officially, you know, licensed gambling, you know, consultant, or this is not gambling advice. These are just picks that we're making and maybe have some fun, maybe make a little bit of money, maybe not. We'll see. But we're going to throw you over there right now and we'll be right back. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You can even get the Boston Bruins at +114 against the Florida Panthers tonight. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Resort and Casino in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to Pad Stack fans. And welcome back to the Two Pad Stack, Patrick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's make some money. The hat trick with Patrick went 1-2 last week, bringing our record to 15-21 on the season. These picks are for Tuesday, March 26th. And as always, the lines come from the crown. Always bet with the crown, DraftKings Sportsbook. And always gamble responsibly and at your own risk. With that being said, let's go. First, we will go to Florida for the Boston Bruins at the Florida Panthers. We are going Boston Bruins money line +114. The Bruins have hit the money line 57% of the time this season. Next, we will go to New York, New York for the Rangers versus the Philadelphia Flyers, where we are taking the Rangers -1.5 with on the puck line, which is +124. The Rangers are rolling, and they hit the puck line 52.1% on the season. And last but not least, we are going to Colorado for Montreal at Colorado, over 6.5 goals at -120. Respectfully, the Montreal Canadiens hit overs 50.7% of the time, and the Avalanche are third in the league, hitting 57.9% of the time. Thank you all for listening to Pad Stack fans to what has been the Two Pad Stack Hat Trick with Patrick. I have been Patrick. Shout out to DraftKings.
All right, we're back. So, Shan, I'm curious. You know, we were talking about seeing a game at Bell Center. I mean, I obviously haven't done that yet. I've been to a few away barns, but I haven't been to Bell Center. It's on my list. So far, what's your favorite away barn that you've been to?
Climate Pledge.
Yeah?
I know, like I said, I'm fairly certain I said that to you, like, when I saw you at the, what game you at? Vegas game, was it?
Yep. Yeah, it was Vegas.
Yeah, it was just such a nice arena. Mm. Obviously, like, I have a soft spot for the Kraken anyway, so I may just be a little bit biased. But yeah, I loved the entire arena. Like, the area was really nice. They let you take in your own water bottles. Like, no matter, like...
Interesting.
So you can take your own water bottles as long as they're empty, because they have water fountains around the entire arena. You're paying $6 for a crappy bottle of Dasani water. Mm. Yeah, I really like the twin jumbos. I know some people don't like that. No, not traditional.
Yeah, it's not traditional, but...
Yeah, I really liked that. Everything just seemed very well organized. It was a lot of fun. They were celebrating Black History Month that night. So they had like a lot of like live music, and it was just really great time. And obviously, I absolutely love Bowie. That's very well known if you ever follow me on Twitter. Didn't get to meet him this time, although he did like message and be like, I was trying to find you, but yeah, next time I go there. After that, really, although I don't like Detroit, Little Caesars Arena, absolutely loved that arena. Had a great time there.
Now, you went down to the island, right? The Islanders game?
I did.
You did?
I did go to the Islanders game.
So they have a brand new arena, UBS Arena.
They do,
what did
yeah.
you think of that?
I think that would be a hell of a place to watch a playoff game. Especially like if you're not going to the game, like the whole area, pain in the ass to get to. Don't get me wrong. Like, absolute nightmare. It took me while I was staying in Lower Manhattan, it took me 2 hours to get there and then 3 hours to get back. Yeah. Obviously, using public transport, but yeah, it was really, really nice. The concourse was nice. It was probably one of the coldest arenas I've been to.
Coldest, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, it's ice hockey, so we're all going to be cold anyways, but in general, it was really cold. And a lot of us were absolutely drenched, so we were sat there the whole game shivering.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the area around it, so they had like, well, it looked like an outdoor barbecue area. Obviously, like there's like an outdoor bar. There was a lot of fairy lights, and I am a sucker for fairy lights. It was, yeah. The traffic in the area, though. Horrendous. Like, yeah, it took me 1 hour and 10 minutes to actually get a bus out of that place because the stewards were sending me like here, there, and everywhere. People like follow the crowd. So I followed the crowd and ended up in a car park like 10 minutes away. I was like, oh, this is not where I need to be. But,
yeah. I think, like, for me, what I really enjoy is I like it when the NHL arena is like embedded in the downtown area. You know, I really want the team should be like part of the culture, not in like a building 30 minutes away from the town that they claim to be a part of. You know, what Ottawa does, I don't like that. In Canada, Ontario, they're not in Ottawa. They're in a completely different town. Same thing with like, you know, what Philadelphia does. You know, the Flyers, Wells Fargo Arena, it's still in Philly, but it's like right off the highway in a sports complex with like a football stadium, a baseball park, and a hockey arena right next to each other. Like, that's not, I want to be able to experience the vibe of the city when I go and watch a sporting event. Like, I love how Boston is right now because it's right in the downtown area, right in the North End. I can go out to Halftime Pizza and grab a slice before. I can go to the greatest bar and get blitzed before the game. I can go to, you know, any of those places all around, and it is built right into the city. You get a true feeling and a pulse of the city. You know, I do think that, you know, other places that did this well was like, I know I just shit on Tampa, but Tampa did a great job. That part, or the arena down in Tampa, is right in a great downtown area. There's fantastic weather down there, obviously year round. There was a beer garden outdoors within walking distance, nice Cuban restaurants. Like, I had a really good time with how Amalie Arena is featured in the Water District, or the river, whatever, Riverside, I think is what it's called.
I think Catherine was talking about how much she loved that arena as well.
Yeah, it's a great arena. Like I said, the downtown area is really nice in that particular part of Tampa. Who else did a good job? Obviously, Vegas. Vegas does a good job. I mean, T-Mobile Arena is right on the strip. And you can basically walk indoors the entire way down the strip, just going from casino to casino to casino, and to get into T-Mobile Arena. Really had a lot of fun and really enjoyed Vegas. Nashville, too. I mean, Bridgestone Arena. Have you gotten a chance to go to Nashville yet, Shan?
No. So, for this trip, so I just did the 3-week trip, my original plan. So, I couldn't, this week of nights that I've just finished, I couldn't get that week off because I used all of my last holiday on, like, the trip that I'd just done. My original plan was to come back to this week at night and then should have been on a plane by now, flying out to Florida. I was going to go and do a Florida roadie, Nashville, DC, Carolina. Then because it's Easter, the international flight prices have literally doubled. And I was like, I'm not paying a grand to fly out there when the week after it's only £460. So yeah, so I was originally planning on doing Nashville this season because it is top of my list. Nashville and Mullet are like my top two that I want to do right now.
What was the second one?
Mullet.
Oh, Mullet Arena. Yeah, yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I would like to do the Southern teams because, I mean, in the middle of winter, I want to go south to watch hockey just because I want to get away from the shitty New England weather. Like I said, I've been to Florida. I went to Florida for game 3 and 4 in the playoffs last year. That was a ton of fun. They do not have an arena downtown. Obviously, they're in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, but they're like 40 minutes outside of Miami to the north. Wasn't really super impressed, but I mean, it is a really cool place that they have the arena. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but you know, they're right on the border of the Everglades National Park. So when you're in the upper bowl and they just have windows all around the upper bowl, it's basically as far as you can see, it's just like swampy green, which is really kind of cool to see. I'm sitting there sipping on a Truly, looking out at just Everglades as far as the eye can see. So I almost wonder if, like, you shouldn't be the Florida Panthers, you should be like the Gators or something, with how close you are to the Everglades, the Burmese pythons or something. But yeah, that was cool, but once again, wasn't downtown. Like, I had to go to a mall in order to get a drink before the game and get a bite to eat, or I would have to pay for arena prices. I've been to Newark, obviously not a great experience in that town. Don't suggest going there. If you do, just go straight into the arena and then straight out and don't spend any time there.
So I was on about like my first time in Boston in 2022. So we did 8 days in Boston, and then we were actually, so me and my friends, we were supposed to like be in New York for a week, and then we were supposed to be going to a convention out in Whippany, New Jersey. That convention got cancelled, so we were like, right, we couldn't extend our hotel in New York. So we were like, right, well, a couple of like my friends, they were flying home from Newark. So we were like, oh, well, we'll just stay in Newark then, and like, we'll go and like, you know, see what that's about. So we did, and we got there like the Friday night, and we're literally, the hotel we were staying at was like a 10-minute walk around the corner from the train station, and it was like right around the corner from the Prudential Center. And we were just like, what the hell is this? But we hadn't even made it out the train station, and we were like, oh my God, what the hell have we done? So we got to the hotel, and then we were like, there was nowhere open that did like food delivery. It was like 11 p.m. The only place that was open was the McDonald's in the train station. So we were like, oh my God, we're going to have to go back outside, aren't we? So as we'd come out, I think it was 10 p.m. actually, because all of the Devils fans were coming out of the game. Like, you know, massive, like, big roads that's like right outside the crew.
Yeah,
so obviously, like, the traffic had stopped. People were, like, getting out of the cars and, like, dancing in front of other cars. And we were just like, what the hell is going on? So we like legged it back down to the McDonald's and the train station, and then on our way out, one of their workers was like in the corner, like just touching himself, and we were just like, what the hell? Like, he worked for the train station, and we were like, oh my God, what have we done? So the next day, like, none of us were like excited about going out and exploring the place.
No.
So we went and had a look at the crew from like the outside, and then we were just like walking with like, let's go find the downtown area. But then there was like multiple groups of different religions all screaming at each other, and we were like, oh my God, I'm gonna die in this place. So we ended up spending the rest of the weekend back in New York to feel safe. Do you know it's bad when you go into New York to feel safe?
Then you feel safe in New York, yeah. We did. We did the same thing. And
so now I'm like, I never want to go back there, but unfortunately I have an NHL arena that I need to take off, so I'm going to have to go.
Yeah, it was like I went down there. This is before my youngest was born. So it was me, my wife, and Arya. Arya was like a year and a half old at the time. So itty bitty baby. It was her first NHL game, actually, at the Prudential Center. And we met Jack Edwards and stuff before the game. And he showed me the cup ring. And Brad Marchand was there. He was wearing a little baby blue suit at the time. It was actually kind of adorable. But I thought I was like, not that tall. Brad isn't that much taller than I am for an NHL player. I was like, hey, you know, there's still time. I could do it. I got the right stature for it. But no, we ended up, you know, as true New Englanders, we pulled in and I looked on Google Maps and I was like, all right, where's the closest Dunkin' Donuts? I need a coffee. And that was a mistake. That was a ginormous mistake. So I'm walking with my wife and my 1.5-year-old daughter. She's up on my arm and we walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, we're waiting in line to get our coffee and a really large guy walks in behind me and we're decked head to toe and brewing stuff as is tradition. And this really large man asks, hey, you guys from Boston? We're like, we're Bruins fans. We're from New Hampshire. Yeah, but you came here from Boston. So, well, yeah, I mean, technically we drove through Boston to get down here. Yeah. Yep. You know, Doc Rivers. I was like, the Celtics coach? Yeah, Doc Rivers. Well, I know of him. I've never met him before. I fucking love Doc Rivers. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, he's good by me too, man. I'm just going to grab my coffee, okay? And then another guy walks in, another really large dude. And he looks at me, says, hey, you got a spare ticket, don't you? I was like, a spare ticket? Yeah, the hockey game. You got a spare ticket. So I don't have a spare ticket. I have one for me and one for my wife. And we're going to go to the game. That's why we're wearing these Bruins clothes. Just getting my coffee and leaving. And the first guy that talked to me looks at the second guy. The first guy says, hey, don't fuck with them. They're from Boston. I'm like, well, we're not from Boston. He's like, shut up. Let me handle this. This guy fucking knows Doc Rivers. They're from Boston. Don't fuck with them. You want to fuck with them? You're going to fuck with me. I was like, oh my God, I need to get out of this fucking place. Just let me get my fucking coffee. I'm going to die. I'm never coming back to New Jersey. I swear to God. So finally, at these guys who are just face to face, we get our coffees and we just book it the fuck out of there. It's like a 5-minute walk to get to the Prudential Center. But yeah, I will never go back to Newark, New Jersey. Never ever in my life.
Like, as you know, like I pretty much do the majority of my traveling by myself around the US. Newark, actually downtown Pittsburgh, are the only two places that I ever truly felt like I was gonna get murdered or something. I was just like, I can never set foot in this place ever again. But then, say that, and then half the times when I've like done bush trips and stuff, back to go through, I've been like, oh my God, not this place again. The bus is going to be vandalized.
Well, we're starting to run out of time here a little bit. I'm going to throw some quick questions at you here, okay? I obviously know the answer to some of these just from our talks in the past, but for those that are listening, who is your favorite Boston Bruin and why?
Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah. Jake DeBrusk.
If you follow me on Twitter, I am quite feral in my defense of him. So, yeah.
How relieved were you when he wasn't traded at the deadline?
Okay, so to put it in perspective, so the Wednesday night, we picked Bobby up from the airport. We were driving out to Leominster to go and have something to eat because that's where he was staying. And we were all like having a jolly good time. And then Greg sees that tweet about the potential 3-way trade sending Jake to Pittsburgh. And I, like, shut down. Like, I couldn't, like, literally, so they were all, like, talking and giggling and stuff. And I was literally just, like, staring out of the car window, like, and, like, no, I cannot go through this. So then after that, like, the game, so there was a Leafs game. We were literally, like, frantically, like, searching to see if he was, like, coming out for warm-ups. And then in the morning, when we were waiting for practice to start, when the players started coming out, I was literally, like, my eyes were glued to that glass. I was like, where the hell is Jake? Where is Jake? And then he came out, and he seemed like he was in a really good mood. So we were like, right, it can't be, like, it must be okay. Like, you can't be going anywhere if they're in, like, very high spirits. Because I think at that point, you'd have known that he was, like, going to be on the move.
Yeah.
And then the deadline came. Well, actually, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but so just before the deadline, Greg and I were driving up to one of the Orange Line stops, the Zeta Park there, because she's been in Boston. And he'd put Felger on just so we could hear any trade deadline stuff. And Felger, it seems like, well, the Bruins have got 2 minutes to trade either Ullmark or Jake DeBrus. So I'd like quoted that and like posted it on Twitter, and then just a simple like, shut the fuck up, Felger. Like, I would just, yeah. And like, yep. A lot of my relief has come from the fact that like, Jake has always struggled in contract years because of how like uncertain, like you don't know whether you're going to be staying there and he's being in Boston and he's, you know, I know he's had issues and he's requested trade in the past, but he does love Boston, he loves being a Bruin, like, you know, his best is there. So during the contract years and like not knowing whether he's coming or going, he does struggle. And if you go back and look, it's always like his best years are the ones where he's like, there is no contract or nothing. It's the last season.
Yeah.
Look what it's been like, you know, like now since the deadline, it's just gone an absolute heater.
Mm-hmm.
And I have screenshots of people shit talking Jake previously. Oh,
I hope you don't have any screenshots of me doing it.
Well, actually, I'm going to put Lucy on blast here because I have one very specific one. From like October when he missed the meeting and got scratched, and he was like, I'm starting to wonder what his worth really is and stuff like that. So now every time Jake scores, I just send him that screenshot.
That's funny. All right, so Jake DeBrusk is your favorite Boston Bruins player. You've already kind of shared why when we talked earlier about how you became a Bruins fan. So, so far for you, whether it's in person, on TV, whatever, what is your favorite Bruins memory?
I have so many. Like, last season was insane. Obviously, when I started planning that trip, I had no idea how the season was going to go. Because, like,
yeah.
When I started planning my trip, we had no head coach. You know, Bergeron was staying. I thought Jake was going to end up leaving because he hadn't, like, officially rescinded his trip at that point. But I planned it anyways. The first ticket that I actually bought that whole trip was the Flyers game in April. They were the first tickets to go on sale. And then that game ended up being the game where the Bruins like officially broke the NHL record for the most wins in the season.
Yeah.
So that was probably one of my favourite memories because it was just like, holy shit, like we just witnessed NHL history. Like, happening, and I have like I recorded the last minute of the play, and like you could just hear people like literally shouting, counting down until the game ended. Pasta scored a hat in that game, and that was actually my second Pasta hat within like space of 10 days in Pennsylvania because he scored one in Pittsburgh not long before that.
Nice.
So that was probably like just for like the sheer like. I know, like, it didn't really do much because, you know, the playoffs and shit, but just to experience that was just insane.
I do think that a lot of people are so quick to dismiss what happened last year just because of what happened in the postseason. And I've said this to a million people, like, just because the wheels fell off in the postseason. It can happen to any team. That's the nature of the NHL, is that, you know, it is such a parity-driven league. Anything can happen once you punch your ticket in the postseason. That doesn't invalidate what an absolute magical run that team went on last year. It was almost like the stars aligned perfectly for them to perform the way that they did. And it still chaps my ass a little bit that it ended up the way that it did for guys like David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron. Like, those guys deserved like the storybook ending, like the absolute like lights out year, and then to go out on top and then ride off into the sunset like Mark Recchi did back in 2011. And they didn't get that. And I guess it's just a dose of reality.
So after the game as well, so Tanya was at that game, we were sat in different sections. After the game, we got to her car in the Flyers parking lot, we wound the windows down, we turned her volume up to blast, and we absolutely blasted Dirty Water. Driving around the Flyers car park, we were just like, yeah, people were like, you did that in Philadelphia? And we're like, I grew up in English football culture, like, I ain't scared.
Oh yeah, those friggin' goons and football culture over there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap things up here for episode 34. Shan, thank you so much for joining. It was a ton of fun chatting with you and sharing some stories back and forth. Guys, if you want to follow Shan on Twitter, the app now called X, whatever the fuck you want to call it, you can find her at Shan Bruins Fan on Twitter. You'll probably see her at the Garden or somehow on Nesson pre-games for her next trip. But
if the Bruins do manage to get out first round, I'll probably jinx it myself now, but if they do manage to get out first round, then we try sleeping over in May during one of my weeks off. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to. I was thinking about buying playoff tickets. It's so goddamn expensive, so I might not do that. But you know, we'll see how it goes.
$400 for my ticket last season.
Yeah, it's too much money. That's crazy. But all right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. Thanks very much for tuning in to episode 34 of the Two Pat Stack podcast. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
You've been listening to the Two Pat Stack. Our passion is hockey. From Beer League to the Bruins, we friggin' love it. We love the Patriots, too. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter and TikTok at TwoPadStackPod. And find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching TwoPadStack. See you next time on the TwoPadStack.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.